Beijing rolls out new stock market reforms as its rivalry with the U.S. heats up. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. 18 companies surged today in their debut on Shenzhen's tech-heavy Chinext board. The rush to list domestically comes amid worries firms could be delisted from U.S. exchanges amid increased scrutiny from the Trump administration. That's after the president in June asked regulators to recommend actions he could take if the companies are found to skirt American accounting standards. Michael Hewson, chief market analyst at CMC Markets, explains the steps China has taken to make its own exchanges more attractive.
One of the things that's been notable is the fact that Huawei, which doesn't have access to semiconductor technology outside of the US, is very, very vulnerable to a technological crackdown. And I think what China wants to do is build up its own tech sector, and reforming its key next index is one part of that strategy to try and make its own stock markets much more attractive to overseas investment.
So they've sort of made the process a little less bureaucratic and loosened restrictions. And this will foster not just a rivalry between the U.S. and China in terms of tech shares, but also between Shenzhen, Shanghai, and Hong Kong, which are all battling to become the go-to destination for Chinese-listed companies.
I mean, I think from that point of view, it's very, very healthy, fostering healthy competition between various regions of China. I think there's probably concern that Hong Kong could find itself diluted as a financial center, and maybe this is part and parcel of pushing Shenzhen up. But overall, I would suggest that if China wants to generate investor confidence in its own stock markets and what have you, it needs to be much less interventionist. And I think over the course of the past 4 or 5 years, it's swung between being very pro overseas investments to suddenly intervening in a very protectionist fashion.
Michael Hewson, chief market analyst at CMC Markets. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Elsewhere in financial markets, European shares are rebounding from a two-week low. Benchmarks in Paris, London, and Frankfurt are all rising between 1.8 and 2.2% this morning. Oil prices are also rising after storms in the Gulf of Mexico forced half the region's producers to shutter operations. Mining giant Rio Tinto says it's cutting the performance bonus of its chief executive over the destruction of two ancient Aboriginal sites in Australia. The BBC's Frey Lindsay has more on that.
Bonus payments to CEO Jean-Sébastien Jacques and two other senior Rio Tinto executives will be reduced by nearly $4 million after global condemnation over the destruction of the sacred Aboriginal sites in Pilbara, Western Australia. The rock shelters, dating back more than 46,000 years, were destroyed in May to make way for an iron ore mine, despite objections from the local Aboriginal community. After the caves were destroyed, a representative of the traditional owners of the land said losing the site was a devastating blow. Rio Tinto, whose shares are listed in both London and Sydney, said it would provide more details on the bonus cuts in its 2020 remuneration report. I'm the BBC's Frey Lindsay for Marketplace.
Chinese social media giant TikTok said it plans to launch legal action challenging President Trump's proposed ban on its services in the U.S. The company is now in talks to potentially sell its North America, Australian, and New Zealand businesses. But what would any buyer get out of the deal? The BBC's Ed Butler reports.
Not just Microsoft and possibly Twitter, but also Oracle is in the game to snag the video app, currently valued at more than $20 billion. What would they all be buying for that amount of money?
I think there's a big question how much of this is actually earnest desire to take over the operations of this company.
Russell Brandom, policy editor at the US technology magazine The Verge, has his doubts. For one thing, Microsoft, or whoever it is, wouldn't be buying a global social media platform. They'd just be buying a regional one.
This is where you get into trouble, because a lot of the economic logic of social networks is you build one product, you build one ad network, and you distribute it all over the world. So there's incredible benefit from scale.
What difference will any of this wrangle over ownership make to the core problem? You know, the one about Chinese meddling in US firms and consumer data. I sought out Sandra Wachter. She is an associate professor at the Oxford Internet Institute.
I'm able to infer your sexual orientation and your ethnicity, maybe even your religion or your political leanings. All of that is something that we're giving up whenever we're engaging with those technologies, because the algorithms are able to infer that about us.
So then, does the transfer of this company to an American-based owner fix the problem?
No. The first problem is, what is the company that is acquiring able to infer about you? And the second problem is, who else get access to that data? At the moment, we might have concerns with China, but we have seen legal battles where the public sector wanted to have access to data that is being held by the private sector. So the same concern will actually stay the same. It might make more sense to think about regulation rather than thinking about acquisition. If we are actually interested in governing how we share and trade and collect data, and if we want to regulate the ad tech industry in a certain way, I think international frameworks are much more fruitful than trying to buy up all the companies in the hope that I can control the data that they have.
So will TikTok get sold and to whom? We may have to wait till after the presidential election to find out. I'm the BBC's Ed Butler for Marketplace.
Finally, credit card companies in Japan are reportedly running out of 16-digit card numbers. It's thanks to a boom in online shopping and push for cashless transactions during the pandemic. Why not just add a digit? Well, it could mean having to update 300 million cards already in circulation. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.